Well, happy Sabbath, one and all. What a blessing and privilege it is to have another day, another week, another month, another year added to our lives because of God and His mercies to us each. Glad you could join us. Those that might be listening to the recording, privilege to have you here and to be listened to. Amen. Prayer requests. We will definitely keep Michelle in prayer as well. Thank you for the heads up, dear bro. I've chosen for this to open. Oh, I should just state what's happened. Has Brother Bob moved to Australia or the other way around? I'm taking lead today for dear Brother Bob, who is not well, but is progressing the right direction, and it may be for 2 weeks, and we'll go from there and see how he goes. So let's continue to keep him in prayer and praise the Lord that progress is a real possibility. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Can you imagine God saying that? Well, of course not, Lord. Nothing's too hard for you. All right, now I'm going to share my screen and share with you. Do you think, Luce, you can be my secretary and write on the prayer list about Michelle? Just there. If that's that, I'll just put the thing on the side. So it's... Okay. Yes. So, can you all see my screen? Gotta put the... Yes, thanks, bro. I haven't got the chat box. Yes, great. Now I've got the chat box. Wonderful. Okay, so you can see that. I was looking for selecting the screen to... I'll have to look at that. This slightly changed how it's done, but as long as you can see... This is what it's all about. Okay, so the opening song is Draw Me Nearer. Do you want to sing with us, Luce? We'll start us off in the first verse. I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side.
Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed. blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Lynn, we're looking for you.
Oh, I just realized you do not have a mic that works. Can anyone hear Lynn, unless it's just us? Can anyone hear Lynn?
Nope.
Until further notice. No, we're sorry to hear that. Do you want to sing? You want to take a verse again, Lois?
You, yes.
All the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend, when I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side.
There are depths of love that I cannot know. Oh, till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest and dwell with thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side.
Amen. And the real good news, thank you, dear brother and sister Lynn, for attempting. Thank you for trying. Hope we can get to hear your voice very soon. You know, what's good about what we were just singing is God's all for it. God's in love with us, or as someone said, he's crazy about us. We went to die for, and Christ fulfilled that. Just a review, restatement that dear brother Bob's unable to lead today or tonight, as the timeline is for you or most of you, and so he's asked me to fill in. Perhaps for this week and next week until he's back on his, back to normal. He is progressing and, let's keep that in prayer as well. Praise the Lord for the power of prayer that's in Christ Jesus to intercede for us. And speaking of prayer, why don't we have a word and then we'll continue in a new chapter. Servant of prophets and kings. Let's have a word of prayer. Our kind Father in heaven, thank you so much for restoring us. You know, sleep is so precious, but trusting in you is no less precious. It's more precious, I think, than our sleep, to know that no matter what's going on in our life or in the world, locally and nationally and internationally, you understand it all, and it all matters to you. You are not an absentee landlord that doesn't care about the beings that the earth was created to be inhabited by. Thank you for the creation, the redemption plan in the marred creation that answers to the needs of every one of us. Thank you for the Bible and the gifts of the spirit of prophecy revealed in it, and in modern times that we have the privilege of seeing and hearing things that prophets, patriarchs, apostles even longed to see. That's how highly honored we are. We are so highly honored. We don't want it. We recognize that with the honor comes responsibility, and with responsibility comes accountability. And we know you wouldn't give us these high privileges if you didn't give us grace to live out those privileges and to go through the constant opening doors that are providing us to fulfill the purpose of our being, of being recreated in the image of Jesus. Lord, we have requests. We learnt about dear sister Michelle, who's in great pain with one tooth, that it is no doubt excruciating at times. I can only imagine, and we ask that you will bless whatever can be taken in the process before she can get what may be a very root canal soon. And leading up to that, that you will give her the power to kill the pain as far as possible, whatever can be done to do that, so she can be able to be as normal as possible under the circumstances, and that she and others, all of us, regardless of what the week has been, will be literally what we usually say to one another is happy Sabbath, that it will be that, because you are in it, you are with it, and you are in us, taking the throne of our hearts and being a welcome guest, willingly, a guest that we don't want to leave, one that we say we were promised in the scriptures that how much more shall God give of the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. Thank you for doing this. Thank you for taking care of us on the roads. We travel very fast on the roads sometimes, I mean, according to speed limits. And many things can go wrong on the roads for a number of reasons. We thank you for travel mercies and on other ways of travel that have seen us through safely another week, unscathed. Thank you for protecting us and providing us with views that we didn't see perhaps last week, last month, last year, or maybe last decade, or even further. Please give us insights into ourselves and into the work of the past, the present, and the future as we look at a new chapter in Prophets and Kings. Please help our dear sister Lynn's computer return to normal so we can hear her dear voice and her mum's, and that we can make the most of what is the closest to being in one another's homes, called the blessed computer or a phone or an iPad. It is a huge blessing, Lord, and it's what makes a church that matters most. And we were just reading last week about the significance of that wonderful promise in Psalm that a high and holy one who inhabiteth eternity alone can constitute a church. That is very encouraging. That is very that leaves us a huge promise, both in the Old and in the New Testament, where we are gathered together in Christ's character, there is he among them. May it be so as we continue in the Lord just now. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. So let us bring up the book. So we finished chapter 26 of Prophets and Kings last week. And the subject was, or the chapter rather, was about beholding God in the plan of redemption of a race of rebels, which more often than not, Israel represented. And so the plan of redemption was even taught to the heathen, despite God's own people failing to fulfill the purpose of their being. Now, I'm not saying all of them came under that condemnation. None were claimed to be sinless, but unfortunately the majority tended to be on the side of wickedness. And it was said, and it's said in the Bible, that even the wicked would know, the heathen, sounds like a nasty word even today, calling them heathen, which we are, or unless there's a Jew among us, a literal Jew, that they would say, when they saw the desolation, they saw the destruction that would happen to God's people, they would say they would know why it happened, because God is just and his people unjust. And God is not a respecter of a nation, just as he isn't of a person. And they would learn that. So they would be impressed by his character in a way that he's not impartial. He's not someone that, winks at someone who knows the truth and turns away from it. He winks at those who don't know the truth, but then when they learn it. And so there was this lesson going on whether the children of Israel were faithful or unfaithful. Obviously, the ultimate goal was for them to be faithful, and that's what would cause the world, the earth that is yet to be fulfilled in our day. It went a great deal in the Roman Empire, the gospel, the everlasting gospel, but is to go right around the world. Everyone is going to learn it. The glory of God is going to cover the whole world. As Lucy and I talked about this, it might not make sense, but as the waters cover the sea, and the sea is the water, but that's used in the Bible, we know its meaning. No one is going to miss out. And that is the power of God. So that brings us to chapter 27, which is simply called Ahaz. And before I continue, I should ask, can everyone see what the screen? There's no problems. Am I coming across clearly? Yes. Oh, wow. Praise the Lord. Why? Oh, well, because I want to know. No, I know what you mean. Yes, indeed. All right, so let's start with Ahaz and the first paragraph, chapter 27 of Prophets and Kings. And actually, I'll ask someone if they would like to read that for us. We know Stalin can't at the moment, but if anyone else would like, and you let me know when you want to, if you want to, tap me on the shoulder. Would someone like to read the first?
Can you hear me?
The accession of Ahaz to the throne.
brought Israel and his associates face to face, and his associates face to face with conditions more appalling than any that had hitherto existed in the realm of Judah. Many who had formerly withstood the seductive influence of idolatrous practices were now being persuaded to take part in the worship of heathen deities. Princes in Israel were proving untrue to their trust. False prophets were arising with messages to lead astray. Even some of the priests were teaching for hire. Yet the leaders in apostasy still kept up the forms of divine worship and claimed to be numbered among the people of God. Seems like that's happening today.
Yeah, it's no new thing under the sun. And I think we can know why that is, because of the sinful nature not under the control of divine nature. Yeah, that's quite a sentence to finish the paragraph. Yet the leaders in apostasy still kept up the forms of divine worship and claimed to be numbered among the people of God. Wow, I can almost, you almost get the idea of a megaphone thing at there now to let everyone know that. Any thoughts, any insights, any questions or comments anyone wants to make on this paragraph? It's quite something to read that the apostasy was larger in Judah than it had hitherto existed. So Isaiah and his associates, notice it says face to face with conditions. You can imagine they're entering the controversy and not going, oh, well, we tried our best and with the help of God, and they're just getting, unfortunately, princes are going aside, false prophets are rising up, we'll just give up. But that's not their attitude. They enter the thick of it because they love the people as God loves the people. A comment in the room, prolonged association with apostasy leads to joining in the apostasy. You think to yourself, what a blessing. Amen. What a blessing, like Isaiah and others did not do that, and some others. We don't have the specifics, we don't have the statistics, but usually it was the majority that followed the wrong. But you have here, it says many who had formerly, let me not underline it, but black it. Usually it's bluer in them. Word, many who had formerly withstood the seductive influence of idolatrous practices. Well, that's really good news. Were now being persuaded to take part in the worship of heathen deities. So they weren't being forced, but persuaded. We as Christians want to persuade people. We don't want to force. But just persuasion was winning them over to go along with it. Oh, and the princes with their high position were untrue to their trust. False prophets were arising to lead astray. So, you know, they were finding a vocation. And that some of the priests, praise the Lord, not all of them, were teaching for hire. But they all wanted everyone to make sure they understood that we were still among the people. Now, why would they say that except they felt convicted that some might be thinking, isn't this a lot like apostasies that have gone by and bygone days? I wonder if that was why. Have you ever noticed that there are people that have arisen that say some startling things, and they specifically undermine a certain doctrinal truth related to salvation, but then they want to assure everyone that their theology and their mental state is all sound, and you know, you gotta Not sure they say go with the times necessarily, but this is leading to progress. So the officers call it progress. And but you find that in the end, if you were to use the Bible, which is all they would have to do here, you will find whether that is true or not, because people can be very good actors or liars with practice. Would someone like to read? Yes, Lucy would like to read. Okay. Can you see it okay?
Yes.
Bonus.
The prophet Micah, who bore his testimony during those troublous times, declared that sinners in Zion, while claiming to lean upon the Lord and blasphemously boasting, "Is not the Lord among us? None evil can come upon us," continued to build up Zion with blood and Jerusalem with iniquity. Micah 3:11-10. Against these evils, the prophet Isaiah lifted his voice in stern rebuke. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Isaiah 1:10-12.
Amen. Thank you, dear Luce. And happy Sabbath, Brother Josh and Joel, joining us. Glad you could join us. So you have here a lot of stuff. As Lucy was reading, I'm reading the sentence after she's read it. This is thick. God bless you, friend. So the prophet, so we have here, Micah's also, so contemporaneous with, is it presenting Micah as contemporaneous with Isaiah, declare that sinners in Zion while claiming to lean upon the Lord. Now, what do we understand that to mean? What do we call leaning upon the Lord? But, you know, like, how do we say that today? I'm not saying we say it in a lying way, but they were saying, I am leaning upon the Lord. We say something like, I trust the Lord will help me here, and I trust he'll help me there. That it's another way of saying, we trust in the Lord. And then at the same time, it says that they, I should black it where I'm looking, and blasphemously boasting, is not the Lord among us? None evil can come upon us. Now that is quite a boast. None evil can come upon us. It's almost, I was thinking when Lucy read that, I thought straight away, all I could think of is, it doesn't matter what we do, no evil will come upon us. I hope I'm not inserting that there, but can you see that perhaps they might be on the verge of saying that? Because he goes on to say, continue to build up Zion with blood. That's not good. That's murder. And Jerusalem with iniquity. We know that Jerusalem, Judea, they weren't just a church. They were a state. And so that the leaders could actually fulfill things in a way that would bring such crimes about. You can still do that just being religious, of course. So we also have, now, is it a compliment to be called Sodom? Is it a compliment if you're told you're like the rulers of Sodom? And if you're told that you listen to the law, you people of Gomorrah? No, I trow not in one place in the Bible. I trow not. It absolutely is not. I mean, what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? It's ashes to this day because of its wickedness. And you know, it's interesting. We know, was it evil to offer sacrifice according to the law stipulated that was given to Moses on Mount Sinai? Was that evil in and of itself? Because God says here, to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? Were the sacrifices themselves wrong when done in the right spirit and according to the specifications? You can answer, by the way. You don't have to be so. It appears to me to be that it was more the multitude and the lack of the spirit behind it. It was almost as if saying, well, I mean, this might be the equivalent of the Christian in Christendom today. Well, Jesus died for me, so I can do this, even though I know it's wrong. But God says, to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? And also it's losing sight of the Messiah, isn't it? That it represents sacrifice, because it's not sacrifice so that I can continue in sin, because the wages of sin is not eternal life and noble independence, but eternal death ultimately. You know, we all die. We all die because of Adam and Eve's sin. No, that's not an original sin teaching. That's, we all die because of Adam and Eve. They gave us, we have imparted to us what alone they could impart after their sin. But in the resurrection, the lost, the resurrection of damnation, die for their sins, not Adam's and Eve's, but their sins. And that will be the end of it. Does anyone have any thoughts, questions, comments, insights they want to share? Would someone like to read the next paragraph?
Nobody else has a microphone, huh? Okay, inspiration declares the sacrifice of the wicked is abomination. How much more when he bringeth it with a wicked mind? Proverbs 21:27. The God of heaven is of purer eyes than to behold evil, and cannot look on iniquity. Habakkuk 1:13. I don't quite comprehend that one, because he sees everything, and most of it is evil. Is it not because he is willing to forgive that he turns from the transgressor? Yes. It is because the sinner, refuses to make use of the abundant provision of grace that God is unable to deliver from sin. The Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Isaiah 59:1-2. That's a serious thing, that if we are iniquitous in some way, hello, that he won't hear our prayers. And we need him to hear them.
Yeah, that's a fantastic point. I think it's in Hebrews that Christ now in the sanctuary, in the most holy place of the sanctuary now, that he's not a minister of sin, and brings that out in Hebrews in doing that. So your question is a good one. Again, the God of heaven is of purer eyes than to behold evil and cannot look on iniquity. That's interesting, isn't it? And as you were pointing out, rightly, that most of the things going on in the world is evil, according to God's standard. So what do you think that means? Does it have the context that perhaps is not in verse 13? How does that strike you? I mean, could it be that it's answered by way of he's a purer eyes than to behold evil? Is it sort of prerequisite with, that is, that he's not going to let it go unpunished? Then that would make sense. I mean, just thinking on top of the head, that would seem to make a lot of sense. You cannot look on iniquity without eventually, obviously, having to punish it or doing a strange work, ultimately, on it. Will anyone have any? Yeah, and amen to what Brother Dick shared earlier. We want to have our prayers heard. We don't want anything to come between ourselves and the Father. Jesus to be the ladder that Jacob saw with, interestingly, the angels ascending and descending, which, notice the order, they're already here. They're ascending and descending. They've always been working for humanity to God's glory. I was just picking up, with the help of Lucy's Bible, Habakkuk 1:13, the whole quote says this: "Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil." That's what part was quoted. And then it says, "And canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he, and makest men as the fishes of the sea, as the creeping things that have no ruler over them. They take up all of them with the angle, that catch them in their nets, and gather them in their drag. Therefore they rejoice and are glad. Therefore they sacrifice unto their net, and burn incense unto their drag. Because of them, by them their portion is fat, and their meat plenteous. They shall therefore empty their net, and not spare continually. Shall they therefore empty their net, and not spare continually to slay the nations?" So this is Habakkuk speaking. And of course the answer is ultimately, yes, Habakkuk. That's chapter 1. That finishes chapter 1. I think it's marvelous of God. You know, what's one of the famous things that people say about God? They think it's pretty bright that God can't exist because there's evil. Oh, so if good exists, God does exist. And then, you know, their logic, it kills their first idea that they considered very bright. So then that tells us there's a great controversy. Well, how's God dealing with the great controversy? Well, he's a preserver of free will. And at the same time wants us to have the victory over our sinful natures that we've all inherited from our first parents who ever lived on the planet. And he's shown us what is good. Jesus is good through and through. And look how he was treated. They crucified him. We crucified him spiritually. Any thoughts further that might want to be shared before we go to the next paragraph? Please feel free to share. comment in the room. Amen. You could look at this issue from the aspect that God will not serve with our sins. Amen. There comes a time when even divine patience can be worn out. And that's not because God has a bad temper, but divine love can't let the sin experiment go on forever. And you know what? A glorious ending to this great controversy it will be when the people are made up and they learn to love God with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength, and their neighbor as themselves because of that relationship with God, with Jesus, by the Holy Spirit. And then he can come for his people, those who are dead in Christ and those who are alive at his coming. Yeah, amen. Sin brings separation with God, but righteousness brings unity with God. And you know, isn't it amazing? Jesus answers both of that. He was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God that's in him. So he was as if he was the greatest sinner, and yet that represents us. He died for us. The saved at last will say, they'll put their crowns off before him and say, he died for me before the whole lost throng on the earth. They'll see it's not because we're righteous, because God is righteous and he used us. He rescued us from the enemy's hold on our lives. Amen. Jesus is the answer. The devil is the cancer. I was going to say cancer because that would rhyme more. Any thoughts, Liz? I'm glad being put on the spot. You're not smiling now. Amen. Thank you for putting those comments in the room. All right, well, let's go to the next paragraph. That is such a key paragraph. Isaiah 59, isn't it? If we want to know what stops God, we say, God, it's impossible. Nothing's impossible for God. No, there are things impossible for God. The Lord's hand is not sure it cannot save, neither his ear heavy. All right, so he's got all power to save us to the up, doesn't matter what temptation, whatever's going on in the life, that it cannot hear. Oh, no, I've got all the power, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. So you notice it's in a sinful state that God's saying, that stops me from helping you, because humility will acknowledge we need saving, we need cleansing. Pride would not acknowledge that, and then there's nothing God can do. Not even omnipotence can do anything for one who is proud and won't accept God's remedy for the sin problem. Are you ready to read, Luz? Would you like to read the next one? So it's from Solomon had written. You say again?
Yes, thank you. Solomon had written, woe to thee, O land, when thy king is a child. Ecclesiastes 10:16. Thus it was with the land of Judah. Through continued transgression, her rulers had become as children. Isaiah called the attention of the people to the weakness of their position among the nations of earth, and he showed that this was the result of wickedness in high places. Behold, he said, the Lord of hosts, doth take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and the staff, the whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water, the mighty man and the man of war, the judge and the prophet and the prudent and the ancient, the captain of 50 and the honorable man and the counselor, and the cunning artificer, and the eloquent orator. And I will give children to be their princes, and Judah is fallen because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord. Isaiah 1:4-8.
Did you read "And Babe Shall Rule Over Them"?
I don't know.
Could you please read that again?
And I will. "And I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them.
Mm-hmm.
For Jerusalem is ruined, and Judah is fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord."
Wow, thank you. Wow. Thank you for that. Are there any thoughts, any questions, any comments, insights anyone wants to share?
Seems like history is being repeated. Some of America's and other countries' leaders act like children. They get mad and want to fight for no good reason. That's foolishness.
Yeah, amen. Can you imagine if you knew everything about all the wickedness that goes on? I mean, it's depressing. And God knows it all, and yet he's only pure.
It would be more than we could stand if we knew all the wickedness that's out there.
I think it's interesting. She applies Ecclesiastes 10:16 not necessarily to a child ruling, as she, although it does have that meaning. She applies it to the fact because they were serving a different master, you know, the first sinner in the universe, which is not an honor, through continued transgression. I should put a note there. Through continued transgression, her rulers have become as children, but not in malice, but in misbehaving. Yeah, unfortunately, history of this world has a history of life being cheap, or even the fact of how one lives, not necessarily taking a person's life, murdering them, but the way that one lives their life, of having morals that suits one's desires rather than the convictions of conscience that the Spirit sends that are according to the moral law and the standard in the judgment. You know, it's interesting how, well, Lucy and I were just reading Zechariah, was it 13 and 14 for our morning devotion. And it's interesting just how much God was holding out to literal Israel, despite their bad record. So you and I, as spiritual Israel today, it's all true for us, nevertheless. I mean, not every single specificity of the prophecies were to come true because of the geography of its explanation, but because the Jews, literal Jews, failed, it's now vouchsafed for the Christian church. But it's what was for them is for us. And what's more, unlike the Jews as a nation, the Christian nation, if you will, inverted commas, or the Christian Israel or spiritual Israel will yet fulfill these, allow God to do it in us. And it's rather interesting. We could die being among the few that were faithful, but it's when a major portion, if we look at early Christian history, it's when major of the Christian church, think of the Acts chapter 1 and 2, it's when, or chapter 2 specifically, it's when they were united, when they were all of one accord, that God could do extraordinary things. He was doing extraordinary things before that, mind you, after the resurrection. Christ breathed on him, breathed on them the Holy Ghost, and they received it, as it's mentioned in John 21. But he wanted to give them more power than that. And of course, that was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost, and the gifts stayed with the church throughout that period, which is described as going forth, conquering and to conquer, the rider on the white horse in Revelation. So it's really exciting, I think, and so merciful of God to hold out the same thing to us. And yet, if we're not fallen, though we can become that, though we're not fallen yet, these are for us to be lived out today with that bright hope and expectation. Because if God's for us, then he is. Who can be against us? It doesn't matter who they are, who are against God and the plan of redemption and against the everlasting gospel. Who can in truth be against us? They might look like they're against us, might look like they're winning, but who in truth can they really be winning? The devil would love us to think so. He hates us believing God's word and getting involved and getting closer to Jesus. Because if we're doing that, who are we not getting close to? Moi, himself, and all his evil hosts. Someone like to continue?
Maybe it's us tonight. Olin, go ahead, hit your mic, open your mic. If we can hear you, you'll go for it. Unfortunately, we didn't hear anything. They which lead thee, the prophet continued, cause thee to err. Now, how could that be? And destroy the way of thy paths, verse 12. During the reign of Ahaz, which was literally, this was literally true. For of him it is written, he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel and made also molten images for Balaam. Moreover, he burnt incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom, and he made his sons to pass through the fire according to the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel. 2 Chronicles 28:2-3, 2 Kings 16:3. Man, we don't understand how somebody who, the king, the leader, would do that. But here again, I think of Deuteronomy, I think it is chapter 6, where it says that you're supposed to teach your children diligently your history and the commandments and the laws and the precepts and the statutes, and there's a bunch of those names in there. And because they don't do it, the next generation doesn't know it, and they can't pass it on to the third generation. And that's what's happened today. Morality is out the window, and the generation that's producing children now know nothing of what their grandfathers or great-grandparents used to know, and so they have nothing to pass on to the next generation. And so the slope goes downhill, and except the Lord intervene, the devil will have his
Thank you for that, bro. And thank you. Sorry, Sister Lynn, that we still can't hear you. Thank you for trying again. I was going to say that. Keep trying. You are obviously trying. We're sorry we can't hear you. Thank you for the reading and commenting. Your comments, bro, very significant, isn't it? Bind them upon your forehead and upon your hands when thou risest up, when thou goest by the way, when thou sittest down, and when thou lie down. Every time thou were to keep impressing upon the children the history of the people and the great things God had and was doing for them and promised to do for them. What do you think the significance is today? Can people literally, I mean, we read this and we go, this is ridiculous. Like giving your son to pass through the fire, if he comes out alive, the gods are, you know, that's, well, that's, I don't know actually if I got that mixed up with another rite, but I was going to ask the question, yeah, he made his son to pass through the fire according to the abominations of the heathen. Well, they die when they do that. What could be very similar, though not done literally that way? What is ultimately the lost state? It ends up somewhere, doesn't it? It ends up in a, you know, it's not burning now, granted, but it ends up in a lake of something, doesn't it? And so if we, the one way to help people do that, as Brother Dick was sharing, that if we fail to teach children, we don't have to necessarily be parents, but of course children and people in general, because we're all children of God in reality. You know, devil's not behind our existence. He's not upholding us, you know, literally, like the atoms, etc. He might like for us to think that, but it's not so. God is the creator. Devil can't create anything living. He can make it look like it, but you've got this reality that we've got the promise, I think it's Isaiah 34, that who's going to dwell in the burnings? And it's only the righteous that dwell in the burnings of the fire of God's presence. So there's another people that will not make it, and that's the unrighteous who choose to not give up their sins but love their sins. And I was thinking to myself, what would lead someone like Ahaz to go down the road that he did when things could be so prosperous if he followed the right path? I mean, he didn't have a lack of instruction, did he? He didn't have the whole Old Testament, but he had, the kings were demanded to acquaint themselves with the first five books at least, and of course with the rest of the history therefrom. So, and of course Isaiah and others would have been encouraging him that direction, but as Brother Dick restarted the paragraph, they which lead thee, the prophet continued, cause thee to err. That can't be the good prophets. That must be whatever influence he has around him is not leading to the scriptures, not leading to obey God, whose word comes from him. That represents God's word and instruction to us, or his answer to prayer to us, him speaking to us, as it were, verbally, so to speak, as we read his words, and maybe we speak them out loud, that helps you memorize them, sing them, that speaks to us as it is this day, and our privilege. Okay, well, who would like to read the next paragraph?
This was indeed a time of great peril for the chosen nation. Only a few short years and the 10 tribes of the kingdom of Israel were to be scattered among the nations of heathendom. And in the kingdom of Judah also the outlook was dark. The forces for good were rapidly diminishing, the forces for evil multiplying. The prophet Micah, viewing this situation, was constrained to exclaim, "The good man is perished out of earth, and there is none upright among men." The best of them is as a briar, the most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge, Micah 7 verses 2 and 4. "Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant," declared Isaiah, "we should have been as Sodom and Gomorrah." Isaiah 1:9.
Wow. Wow. Thank you, Liz. Thank you. Wow. Any comments, questions, insights anyone wants to share on this paragraph?
Somebody knew something about the history of Sodom and Gomorrah, and looking around, they said, "Good grief, we're as bad now as they were." And I think America is probably as bad as the partiers outside the ark after the door closed. And like them, the destruction is going to come like a sudden rain, and there won't be any salvation by that time. They've cherished wickedness in their hearts, turned their back on everything that's good, and they'll do worse in the future. And the Lord's merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. He forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. I'm not sure what those three different things are, but that will in no wise clear the guilty. You have to repent and ask to be forgiven. But the wonderful thing is, if you do, He will.
Yeah, amen. Including willful sinning, ignorant sins of ignorance. Thank God. You can see the devil say, "Oh, you've gone too far now." He even said that about himself. "I've gone too far now." You know, the Lord won't forgive because He's not, you know, like He ought to be. He should let me come back into my station. I only did it because He stands for right and good. He didn't quite put it that way. Comment in the room: difference between sins of ignorance, sins of forgetfulness, and willful sins. Thank you, bro. So you're mentioning about iniquity, transgression, and sin. So you have ignorance, forgetfulness, and willful sins. So, that's good news when we acknowledge it. It's bad news when we don't. And it takes a willingness on our part, doesn't it, as human beings, to admit when we're wrong. It doesn't come easy. And when we do that, though, we also recognize, and I think this is what stops many people coming to accept Jesus as their personal savior, is because they realize if they confess it and they're told to forsake it, they realize that I don't want to forsake it because I don't think, one, I can stop doing it. You know, it might be okay for a day or two or maybe more, but I think I'm going to keep living in it. So if you've got that way of looking at it, you'll definitely die in your sins. And it's really lacking trust in God to keep you, to cleanse you in the first place, because how can one be cleansed if you're living in sin? There's no cleansing going on at all. You are living in a different Savior that's not the Lord Jesus Christ, a different gospel that did not come from heaven. So there's pretty, it's some pretty dire, circumstances here. You got the forces for good were rapidly diminishing, the forces for evil were multiplying, so you got exactly what you don't want to happen. And he says, the good man is perished out of the earth, and there's none upright among men. The best of them, so this is the best of them, are as a briar. That's what's left, and the most upright, sharper than a thorn edge. And none of that are compliments. Micah 2:7-4. And I think it's marvelous how the paragraph finishes with, except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant. Now, did God want a very small remnant? Was that his wish, that a very small remnant would be saved? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, that can be every single one that's got breath in his nostrils. But unfortunately, there was only a very few that were faithful. Do we want to be among the faithful? That remnant spoken of, the remnant in this remnant of time? I say that, do we want to continue being among the remnant? We have tasted and seen that the Lord's good. Time is short. God is good all the time. His promises will not fail. You know, every time his word comes true, I mean, we acknowledge it in our life, it's a living reality that God and his word are not antagonistic to one another. He means what he says what he means, and it's good news because God is merciful, he's good, he's loving, not willing that any should perish, but all come unto the knowledge of the truth as it is in Jesus. I think we'll probably leave it there for next week. Pick it up in Every Age for the Sake of Those, which is page 324. And does anyone have anything left to say about what we've been reading thus far in this new chapter 27 of the King Ahab? Well, thank you, brothers and sisters. Always a blessing and a privilege to go through an inspiring book such as Prophets and Kings. Does anyone have any testimonies? Oh, you got to go, Sister Lynn. Thank you. I've got to read her. She would say it if she was able and we could hear her. We'll say night, night, all, Genesis 31:49, and Mizpah, for he said, the Lord watch between me and thee tenderly when we are absent one from another. Prayer and hugs to all. God bless. Yes, this. Yeah. I love these emoticons. She looks happy. Hugs to you. Well, does anyone have any testimonies, any prayer requests, praises they'd like to share? Anything to share of what the Lord's done for them? Songs? Anything I haven't mentioned? Well, I've got many praises to share. I'm thankful to be alive, for a start. And I was just thinking about something I could share online, so I wrote it down. And I don't know if you recall, a couple of weeks or possibly months now, I was sharing with you that I was looking for definitions of articles, conjunctions, prepositions, etc. And I was asking all sorts of folks, you know, because I couldn't find it in the concordance. And, well, they weren't giving, they were just telling you where it happens in the Bible, but they weren't giving you definitions. And Logos is so busy they can't get back to you. Still waiting on that one. And but what I could find, I could never really get to the bottom unless you knew Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. So not very helpful for me, Professor Layman. So it happened yesterday. I was telling Lucy after we were having a reading, I was looking at my other concordance, and all of a sudden I saw these numbers connected in the conjunctions, the prepositions, and the articles. And I said to myself, oh, yeah, that's right. I remember seeing that. And, of course, it was in my older concordance. And I don't know why I didn't think of it, didn't remember. I haven't been using the older concordance. And I'm not sure why they didn't put it in the newer concordance, but it actually does give numbers, like where you'll find it in the back, in the Greek, the Hebrew, Aramaic. Not for every word, but a lot of them. It's got it. And I thought, I wasn't dreaming. You know, I must have looked at it years ago. So I'm thankful. I would call that answered prayer, because if I need anything in that area, it's in a different concordance, but nevertheless, it's there. So I am thrilled. Not only do I not have to buy anything, not that I was planning to, it was starting to become quite clear. It's not as simple as it seems, but they actually give it in certain concordances. Why they don't put it in the latest one, I cannot tell. Is it greater scholarship? And, oh, we've worked out, we don't think the word few means that, so we're going to get rid of it. I don't know. It's supposed to be the best of the best. But I do have a question in light of that then, which is the actual reason why I looked at my older concordance, and that is this. I was looking, I'm sure I've seen it somewhere, in the conjunctions, prepositions, articles, and et cetera. That's what they literally call it, et cetera. So there's other things there. I understood that I've seen a number put there other than the numbers for the Greek and the Hebrew and Aramaic, where they'll actually tell you how many times, say, for instance, the word and occurs in the Bible. Yeah, would you believe it? That's a lot. There'll be a lot of times for and. But they'll actually tell you how many times that it's mentioned. The reason I ask, mention this, is I could not find it. It doesn't have it in either of my concordances. And I wondered, has anyone got it in theirs? And the question is, in the articles, conjunctions, prepositions section, in the appendix of your concordance, if you own one or more than one, is there a list of how many times a particular word is used for all the words? And the reason I want to know is because I want to compare it with the Ellen G. White estate and anything else when I come to that in research, to make sure I've got all of them. Because anything human, inclined to make mistakes, and it might be one short, might be 10 short, might be 100 short. Hopefully it's not that high. And so it's good to be cautious. But if anyone knows what I'm talking about and has an answer, that would be greatly appreciated. But I consider that answered prayer, and I'm so blessed that I don't have to buy anything to get those answers.
I want to give thanks to God and to all of you who've been praying for my children. My son was seriously ill. He's been left the hospital, which is great. And my daughter is improving slowly, which is also great. Mm-hmm. So I thank you all for your prayers. And please, she continue. Really needs a lot more. She's a long way from normal. She's the one who had the stroke. But thank you. And thank you to God.
Amen. God be the glory. Praise the Lord. Yeah, just to add to that, actually, it was yesterday I was coming to see Lucy, Friday before Sabbath started, and I heard her son talking. And, you know, if I didn't know any better, I wouldn't even know he was really sick and he had to go to hospital. He was hospitalized. So it was really good. I let him know that. I thought it was fantastic that he's alive and well. And it would be wonderful for this man, your youngest, well, and everyone else for that matter. He knows about the Sabbath. He's respectfully doesn't ring his mum about secular things on Sabbath, which is good. And we'd love to see him enjoy it. And, you know, the world claims that, oh, they got better than what God gives. But in reality, the commandments aren't a burden. The world is the one that gives you the burdens. I'm looking forward to the world to come.
Brother, in my yes. concordance in the appendix section, it doesn't give the total number of times like the word and or an or as is used, but it lists every time it's in one of the verses. But they don't give the definition for it, the Hebrew or the Greek definition. They just list how many times it appears in whatever verse, in whatever chapter, and so on. So if that's something, look in the appendix instead of, the actual Hebrew numbered word. So I guess you can count every time, but that's going to be quite tedious. Maybe Google would be able to find a quicker answer by going to Google.
Yeah. Put the microphone off. Thank you for looking, bro. I know you got the original. You got antique. That's blessed. Thanks for looking. I appreciate that. Oh, that's interesting. They don't give the they didn't give the definition in the original. That's interesting. Thank you for looking. So essentially they don't give you the amount of times, but you can count it. Yeah, that is very tedious. I'm afraid of making a mistake in the process, but you know, if it needed to be, I agree. I think if I just get a couple more than one, feedback, then that'll probably help, be sure that I'm on the right track. And hopefully both of them haven't got it wrong, or three of them haven't got it wrong, although all got the wrong number. Thank you for looking. That's really interesting. I'm so thrilled. I looked at that concordance and saw those numbers. I was sure I wasn't dreaming. I just didn't remember that I'd seen that before, so that is thrilling news. I'm thrilled. I'm up to the letter D. I'm up to the letter D now in the concordance, taking notes and looking at all sorts of things. It's going to be it's a long journey, but it's worth it, and I'm looking forward to it. So glad I'm still getting traffic control work every Tuesday to pay bills, and God is good. We'll see how things go. Thank you for keeping it in prayer, and we'll be keeping you in prayer all.
Good morning, Alice and James, and good evening, others. Can you hear me well? Oh, hopefully. Oh yes, that's great. I thank you so much for your prayers and efforts. All of these months I've been traveling around. Maybe it was establishing ourselves. No, a lot of work has done around our region, East African region, and we are trying to see how we establish it. A lot of challenges, and that we need your prayers. And by now, locally, we do it in this manner, that at every end of year, we always have camp meetings and the conferences from our fellow ministers to energize ourselves spiritually. So this year, Brother Isaac Evans from Kisumu entered so that he can also join. Now, we've been moving around to encourage our people to get ready for the same. And we are looking at where do we locate our conference for ministers this year. And for them, they had suggested around, they want to be in the center of Uganda, maybe around the Kampala region, that is Buganda region. And our area of influence was along River Nile, and we are saying, can we get a location along River Nile? Then they said, well, yes, that's good. Now, when is the dating? He said, we wanted to start with Uganda, then come back to Kenya, because for them in Kenya, they have organized their conference around the 17th to 24th of December. Now, Isaac was challenging me and was saying, now, Joel, how far have you gone? Because you wanted to start with you and then come back to X0 in Kisi. What are you saying? I said, no, I'm not yet settled. I'm still moving around because I've been very busy moving around, trying to make some choir that could help us, and also telling our friends and coming up with a simple budget. But then it is not simple because we are with interest to not only in this African region, but
we interrupt this broadcast to declare that our brother Joel has been kicked out. He will be returning shortly. It's lagging a bit, huh? Hopefully we will hear the rest of his message. He'll be able to come back in shortly. Well, shall be back. I'm sure Brother Joel will make it back in, hopefully. It's always good to hear what others have been up to throughout the week, throughout the month. We're nearly at the end of another year. Wow. The older you get, the more you don't want to think about it. But not the number. You dwell on the giver of life. Age is just a number. No such thing as age. I'm old, only older. Well, he hasn't come back yet, but when he comes back, we're going to get him to finish the message that he had to share. In the meantime, why don't we have a song? A song prepared earlier. In fact, I think this was supposed to be our first song, Liz. Well, it's still true now than it was an hour and a half ago. Come thou font, fount rather, of every blessing. Yes, comment in the room. I praise the Lord for his many and wonderful blessings. That's something about Lord, isn't it? There can be many and they're always wonderful. Is anything too hard for the Lord? I love that. The answer is no. Do you want to sing with me, Liz? Anyone know the song? Feel free to take a verse. I think there's three. Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. While the hope of endless glory fills my heart with joy and love, teach me ever to adore thee. May I still thy goodness prove.
Here I raise my Ebenezer. Hither by thy grace I've come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus, at me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, he to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood.
Can anyone hear anyone? Because on my list it says someone's talking when I'm not. Can anyone hear anyone speaking other than myself?
No.
Thank you for that. Want to sing the third verse? Oh, to grace, how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind me closer still to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy court above. Amen. That's one of the classics. Well, brothers and sisters, is there anything anyone would like to share before we close with prayer and a song to wing us away to Sabbath or sleep or spiritual activities? Go right ahead. Oh, well, amen, bro. God is good. A comment in the room. God is good, and it's a pleasure to have brothers and sisters in Christ in fellowship. Amen. Amen. Amen and amen. And thank you, brother, for looking up that concordance for me. That is so helpful when you don't have the original one that you do. You know, it dawned on me, I was talking about the copyright issue, and I said to Lucy, you know, what if it would be better if I did just whatever they want for the copyright, you know? If it would add impetus, I know if I were an SDA, I would want to use it. Because we're always looking as Christians to help people realize Christians don't make up their own history to suit the Bible. No, 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 they go totally secular for that source. It's going to fruit the Bible, and you'll see it, and you'll see that God knows what he's talking about. And he loves us, and God cares. It is true. Well, why don't we have, it looks like Brother Joel has not made it back, unfortunately, which is unusual. Usually he makes it back. He has not made it back. We understand he had a ministerial meeting, last week. It was about to happen. I understand it all was in the process. And he was finishing that feedback, how that was going, and then he got cut off and a lot of lagging. It sounds very fun. I mean, it's not funny, but when it lags, poor Brother Joel, we can't hear a word he's saying, and then we hear it really quickly, or it just, you know, and then dead. And so next, hopefully, you'll see him tomorrow. What a blessing he and others, including, I understand, Brother Josh, it's pretty late for you in New York. And Duane, I don't know for Duane. Glad you could join us and looking forward to further fellowship. Come online. Our dear Brother Bob will be at 10:30. Oh, brother, that's 1 hour snorky pie past my bedtime. Oh. You're a young'un. I remember my 20s. Those were the days. You remember your 20s, Luce?
Just.
Just. Just is good to be. Why don't we have a word of prayer? Our kind Father in heaven, thank you for the fellowship of your Spirit. Thank you for giving you of yourself and all of heaven the one gift of Jesus. And getting to know that it was your infinite love. That's the only word I can use in English that really can try to describe what I can't understand. Your love revealed for us since creation, since sin, since its progress, and since the hope held out in its ultimate conclusion. We want to be among those that get the victory of Jesus, that Jesus would be all in all. We need it. Desperately we need it. And the world needs to see it. Christians stuck in Babylon, in Christendom, are longing to see the image of Christ revealed in your people, because they want to be a part of them, part of a group that's not confused, part of a group that does not misrepresent, is not misguided on vital issues that are facing the world today, the churches today, as the devil is having his way. Thank God that the Holy Spirit is greater than all the devil and his evil hosts, and that the war is not against flesh and blood. It really isn't. And we have spiritual weapons. We have help from above to love under all circumstances. We want Jesus revealed in us. We need him. We don't want to be a stranger to him. We thank you for going to go through a little bit of Prophets and Kings today in chapter 27. and acknowledge that all of these words are true and that it's sin that will break or stop our connection, our relationship with you, but repentance and the overcoming by Christ in both areas, justification and sanctification, will make our relationship real. And thank you for that precious promise, 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light. Big with hope and promise. As he is in the light, the Father, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses from all sin if we walk in the light. Help us recognize that just as it's real to not walk in the light by our own free will, by our own choice, by our own thinking, our thoughts, so is it all the more real for the kingdom to come that will never fade away, for us to choose God, to choose Christ, to choose light, to choose thy spirit in place of our own will, that God might be glorified in us to the glory of God. Be with our brothers and sisters as they part, as Sabbath has begun or is about to begin, and may it be better than last Sabbath. May our expectations not be smaller than what we've asked in the past, but greater. You're the greatest of the greatest. You're the author of life. You're the author of existence. Nothing's too hard for you. More than once is that mentioned in the Bible, except, of course, saving us in sin, committing sin, lying. There are limits, but they're very good ones. They're extremely good ones, what you won't do, what you can't do. Thank you for showing us your ultimate love in Jesus, who could have failed in the plan of redemption, but didn't. Jesus, we want you to be glorified forever, and we want to continue our journey doing that as we go forward in your name, in your strength, asking that your blessing will be upon all of our hearts. Bless our brothers and sisters who might be traveling on foot or in a vehicle to get to various places to hold Bible studies, Bible readings, visitations, prophecy seminars, present truth, and its various angles, that people may see that we are people of the book, and we don't hate any people, don't hate any denomination, don't hate non-Christian. They might see and know and understand the truth is the truth, and the truth alone is what sets free. Anything that's not the truth does not set free in that area. And we want more light than we've ever had. We need it. We want it in the face of, well, not by dwelling on the evil around us, but dwelling on how great thou art and how great your name will be exalted before all peoples. You do win in the end. Christ has won, and we want to win with him now. Thank you for taking care of us in our spiritual life, when we let you, physical life, mental life, our economic life, everything that pertains to life, and setting things before us, first things first, our relationship with the creator of existence and the sustainer of the same. Bless us as we part now. Bring us together again soon. And may Brother Joel succeed in getting back online, and Sister Lynn be able to talk. We know that it's very important that we can all get involved as much as possible in these precious times of fellowship that make it possible to be able to converse with others of the same faith. We love you. We need you. Stay with us, and thank you for hearing. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Did you hear that, Brother Dick? Sister Lucy said, now Brick's, because she probably didn't know the microphone was on, now Dick's going to sing us the song. You going to sing with us, Luce? You ready to sing us away? Thank you so much for joining us, brothers and sisters. And Lord willing, we'll be back to continue. You never know. Brother Bob might be, back at it again, and praise the Lord, progress. God bless till we meet again.
Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up.